Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. I'm so glad you came, and I hope that you will tell your friends if you like what you're hearing. I'm trying to grow this audience as much as I can, and I just love how it's just taking place little by little. People are coming in over time, and I love hearing from you. So if you ever have questions, you ever have thoughts, please write them down and get to me. Hey, folks, we are in the midst of a series, and we are looking at consciousness. We are looking at the various stages of consciousness. A lot of people don't realize that the way we look at the world, the way we perceive things comes in stages. And we are talking about them. In the last week, we started off with the tribal stage of consciousness. This is the work that's done in integral theory. It's done in spiral dynamics. You may have heard it as stages of faith. You may have heard it in many different kinds of forms. And I'm trying to teach it to you so that you can kind of get a mall map, like, so you can understand where are you on this continuum. And it's not like you're going to stay in one place and just keep graduating. We're going to go back and forth between all of these stages at various times, but there will usually be a stage that you are firmly camped out in. And so today we are examining the warrior stage of consciousness. And this is something that, it's kind of like picking up a scab, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's going to be painful for some of you to get beneath this protective layer that you've built. It's the way you see the world. It's how you know what is true. And so when I offer something, a perspective, it's going to come across as opposite of what you see, perhaps. And if that's the case, you may push back. And I just really want you to remain open during this process, even though I'm going to push on some buttons. I'm going to say some things that sound maybe political or maybe liberal or maybe conservative. I don't know. However you frame it, it's going to impact you because I'm getting at that level of how you see the world. Okay? The warrior stage of consciousness is the larger extension of the tribal consciousness that we talked about last week. And if you didn't tune in, I want to encourage you to go back and check that out. But the warrior mind is totally consumed with forces that are larger than itself and how to overpower them. You see, where the tribe huddled together in self-protection and appeasement, the warrior aligns the power of the collective to combat a perceived threat. So, you know, in the tribe, it was just our family against the world. And we're just going to do whatever we can to get by. We're going to appease the forces that govern us or will impact our family's survival. The warrior mentality moves beyond that. Now you're talking about a group of people who share certain things. It's a lot larger group of people. And the good side of the warrior consciousness is that it brings people together for purposes that are larger than the tribe. It's larger than any individual. And that's always a good thing, to kind of get out of ourselves and into something much more corporate. The warrior consciousness provides solidarity and common goals among multiple tribes of people, but not all tribes of people. You see, it has to have some kind of an adversary or it doesn't really work. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. It really is there. The warrior mind is there and it's needed to defend civilizations from threats. So on a big scale, there's a lot of good things that come from this mindset. And I know that people who hold this place are going to vehemently defend it for these reasons. And you're right. I would never take those things away. But it really needs to move beyond that. Otherwise, we have some issues, right? And here's one. The warrior identity always requires an adversary. You have to have an other, a worthy opponent. And as a result, peace is really impossible as a warrior stage. You really cannot have peace. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but why? Because you're always gearing up for your next battle, right? Now, our culture is really deeply embedded in this consciousness, that even questioning it sometimes will cause strife. I bet by the time I get through this, some of you are going to be really pushing back internally. You're going to feel like, man, I'm not going where you're going, Kevin. And that's because we've created heroes and very elaborate systems from our testosterone-soaked worldview. And it really is a testosterone-soaked worldview. The warrior spirit is all about male domination, right? The very spirit of competition stems from the warrior stage. And I've talked before about competition, and I know that it's good. It has a good place. It can build up and make businesses better and things like that. But not all competition is really that good. The strength is the identity that the warrior consciousness gives to the people. See, what you have when you have a warrior consciousness on a large scale collective is that you're providing all the people in that collective an identity, a place of belonging, some solidarity with each other. And, you know, but the thing is that behind all of that, there's always some elites, some people in power, and they maintain their power through distraction. Hey, focus your stuff over there, go over there and do that. Or they just spend their time promoting the next scrimmage, the next battle, the next war, right? The warrior consciousness is always gearing up for the next big competition, the next big battle, the next war. And that is why peace for the warrior is actually a mislabeled form of revenge, which corresponds to their ability to remain a threat. So for the warrior consciousness, peace is really an effective threat, meaning like the more threatening you are to the other so much that they won't attack you, that's how you define peace. That's how you define peace in the warrior consciousness. And therefore, you can honestly say that it is a low-level consciousness because it is fueled by fear and threat. Now, our U.S. military is larger than the next 7 largest militaries combined. Do you think we need to have a military that big? Now, I know I'm going to step in it here a little bit, but let's just think about that. This warrior consciousness costs us. Our expense that we spend in our military being that big could easily pay all of our debt. We could ensure everyone has medical care. We can ensure that everyone has education and food and shelter. And this isn't pacifist propaganda. This isn't leftist kind of math here. And I'm no way diminishing the sacrifice and the service of those who've served in the military. Not at all. But I am exposing the effect of this widespread warrior consciousness on our society. It has come with a very expensive price tag. And the gravitational pull here on this stage is immense as well. I mean, for some, it's the only identity that they will ever have. The warrior consciousness gives an identity, and that is why it is so strong and so hard to leave it. It takes tremendous awakening to swim against the warrior's tide of otherness. You see, as long as you've got this otherness, this opponent that you always have to fear and worry about, then you can huddle together as a big collective to fight it, to take it on, to engage it, right? Now, we know that we are outgrowing this level. You're starting to come to the roof of this container and getting ready to be repotted. Whenever you have, or whenever you are able to have empathy for the other, when empathy emerges in your heart for the other side, when you can understand that, hey, you know, maybe the people over there that I was hating a moment ago are actually, it's not like I think it is. You see, usually it's personal suffering that opens us up to see the suffering of the other side. But until then, the war machine just masks or spins the suffering it produces. You see, others are more like us than they are different from us. And that ruins the warrior mind trap. And I know what you're thinking. You're really kind of pushing back on some of this because it sounds very anti-military or anti-competition or anti, you know, sports even maybe. I don't know. And it's not. I'm just trying to help us see that there is some very strong trajectory that goes along with the warrior consciousness. And it comes with a cost. And some of you are outgrowing it and trying to figure out, where do I go next? Now, let's not overlook the spiritual aspect of the warrior consciousness. I mean, the same fears and threats and power plays that drive the war machine, they also drive our world's religions. You've seen it and you know it to be true. Many writings in sacred texts reflect how long human history has been stuck in a warrior consciousness. A lot of times, you know, you read the Old Testament and you see God depicted as a warrior God, right? That was very common. Many Christians depict Jesus as an insurgent warrior who is gathering his army for the final battle of Armageddon, right? You know, the message is, you know, take Jesus' love now because his whoop-ass is coming. ISIS sees God as advancing Islam through militaristic eradication of non-Islam, non-Muslims. All those infidels out there have to go. And once we get rid of them, we're going to have a world of Muslims. Ancient Israel, like I was saying, you know, they saw God as their defender and the fighter on only their behalf. So God clearly took sides back then. And you see that through scripture. And it's not that when scripture is saying and talking about these things, that they're describing God perfectly. What they're doing is revealing the worldview that they held about God. So this warrior consciousness has been around for a long time, and because it's in sacred texts, it shows up in all of our religions. And the warrior in each of us has a gut reaction to reject these claims, right? If you have any aspect of a warrior consciousness, then you really push back here. And this is hard. I get it. I know how it feels. This is because we cannot, you know, choose to see the alternative, right? We can't see the alternative. What is beyond the hero and the villain? There's always a hero and a villain. There's always good and bad. There's always black and white, right and wrong, valid and invalid. The warrior mind is the setting for all great story. You know, even scripture advocates an armor for battling realms that we cannot see in Ephesians 6, right? Put on the armor of faith, right? But this is because we see our engagement as a battle. We haven't recognized that the good news is an invitation to put on a garment of praise, which is far lighter than heavy armor. We see that in Isaiah 61. Now, the solution here is integral. And you're going to hear me use this word because this is what integral theory is all about. It's to think of it like in math, right? You use second grade math in third grade, but you build upon it and you use second grade math in fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade and so on. And then even if you're calibrating the Higgs boson particle separator in some quantum physics role, you're using second grade math. So it's not like you leave second grade math. It's that you brought it into your third grade math and into your fourth grade math and into your fifth grade math. You see, the words that Ken Wilber would use and that they use in the Living School, which I attend, is to transcend and include. You see, a lot of times when we change our consciousness, we just jettison the old one. We throw it in the dumpster and say, well, you know, gosh, I used to be super liberal. Now I'm really conservative. Or I used to be really conservative. Now I'm really liberal. We have to kind of get beyond that because it's not either or. If you're still in the either or, you haven't really graduated. But when you can take a piece of it and move it into where you are, now you're getting somewhere, right? We graduate from the warrior stage once we realize it's only needed sporadically, I mean, think of a skilled martial artist. I mean, they never pick a fight. Somebody who's like a kung fu master never goes around trying to get people to fight them. It's there under the scenes if they ever need it. But even their training and engagement is not in the warrior stage. No martial art teacher is going to say, hey, this is about fighting. No, it's about defending, protecting. It's a totally different place. It's not working in the warrior stage. It's working beyond it. So the warrior mind is always a bunker. It's not a home. And you can always tell when you make it a home, you're going to have problems. And here again, I think the story of Jesus is revolutionary. Now, it depicts Jesus as having legions of angels ready to defend him. If he had the warrior consciousness, he'd have just said, hey, Father, send all those angels down and destroy all the bad guys, the people who are making my life so hard. He never did. He chose not to play on that level. You see that in Matthew 26:63. He cautioned his disciples that living according to the sword is the same as dying by it in Luke 22:38 and Matt 26. You see, he saw his own message as a figurative sword of truth that divides families and cuts through confusion. We see that in Matthew 10 and Revelation 1 and 2. The thing is that he employs the sword for healing, not war. And if you can see that distinction, then you're probably not as much in the warrior stage as you would like to think. You see, the ruin of the warrior is recognizing that we can actually activate a warrior when needed to defend life if it's required. But we need not live as a warrior, lest we live in fear and die without knowing any peace. So the warrior consciousness survives on otherness. It survives on duality by bringing us into our very next battle. What are we preparing to war against now? Who shall we hate today? Who is the bad guy now? It's an exhausting trap. There's no peace there. And many of you have moved past it. And we will explore where you go once you leave the warrior stage. We'll look at that next week. I hope you'll come back. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.